Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you guys today. Welcome. Glad you are joining us. We are in the middle of, well, not in the middle of, we're still towards the beginning, but a year where we are looking at the Proverbs, the wisdom that God inspired in Solomon, the wisest man ever, to tell us how to live, how to do life. Our goal is to live life smarter as a result of understanding the wisdom that he gives us. And it's been great so far. I'm looking forward to the rest of the year and seeing how we can do life more effectively. For this morning, let's start in Proverbs chapter 25. It's where we left off last week, actually. Proverbs 25. Last week, we focused on verse 28 of Proverbs 25. It says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." We talked about how God gives us this incredible freedom and says, take control of your life. Use self-control. It's the last of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. You get to control things. God commissions us with an opportunity to influence our own future and the future of people around us. And so we saw that, but let's back up to verse 27, the verse before. It's the context, and it's where we will focus more attention. Verse 27 said, "It is not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's own glory is not glory. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." So when he is talking about ruling your spirit or being in control of your life, not being controlled by other things that don't deserve to control your life, his first example of that is eating much honey. Now, Solomon must have had an issue with honey, because if you back up a few verses to verse 16, I love this verse. Proverbs 25:16. "Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit." Someday I think I'm going to make a Valentine that has that verse in it. And I understand it's Valentine's Day, so you hate to really focus on eating too many sweets. I mean, I actually gave my wife some candy for Valentine's Day, so I feel really horrible about that. But it's the Word of God, and it's important for us. Now, let me just say this right off the bat. And the Proverbs have quite a bit to say about this, about eating too many sweets, eating too much. Right away, that can become really offensive. Most of us, because of our culture, just focus so much on what you eat and how much you eat and how much you weigh. But it's not my business to cover for God. It's my business to tell you what the Bible says. So we're going to look at what he says. And I really don't desire to offend anyone, except I sure don't want to offend God by teaching his word and ignoring certain things that are in it. So if I, you know, if this is one of those things that offends you, hey, it's just one week. Next week I'll be offending somebody different. But go ahead and turn back to Proverbs 23. Verse 1, and he says, "When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat. If you are a man given to appetite, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food." And then move over to chapter 20. Chapter 23, verse 20. He says, Proverbs 23:20, "Do not mix with wine-bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." And then turn over to Proverbs 30, and this is where we'll stay, so you can relax your thumb. Proverbs 30, beginning with verse 7, he says, "Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, or with my correct portion of food, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. It's interesting that with this wisdom in Proverbs, although there are numerous times in here where it says, don't eat too much, and when you get sweets, when you get honey, just have some, know when to stop. We hear this message all the time, and it's one reason why we're like, oh boy, here we go again, diet and exercise, diet and exercise. Our society is trying to drill this into us about what we eat and how much we eat, but here in the Proverbs, it is not about your vanity. It's not about don't eat a lot because you'll look better if you don't. This is not about having sculpted abs. It's different than that. It's also not even about health. You know, we have certain standards that say you should weigh this much, and society just drums that into us. The truth is, you can be perfectly healthy and not have your weight be exactly what the BMI chart says you should be. But here, he's not even talking about, here's how you can be healthy. Don't eat too much. So the two primary motivations for weight that we tend to latch on to, vanity and health, aren't even a concern. Solomon actually died as a pretty young man, probably between 52 and 54 years old when he died. He didn't always take his own advice, certainly. But he probably wasn't the healthiest guy. Most people in their culture in that day and age got lots of exercise. It was an agrarian society. They would work on the farms, or they would work in constructing things and hunting and gathering and that kind of stuff. Now, for a king, you didn't have to do all that stuff. But when it came to Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines, I'm thinking he had cardio. But, sorry. No, I mean because of chasing the kids around the house and all that. But this isn't what he's talking about. Notice again, chapter 30, and starting with the end of verse 8, feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? That's revolutionary. For someone inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, if you eat more than what you need to eat, than what's good for you, it's going to affect your relationship with God. It's going to affect your connection with Him. It's going to affect the way that you actually know Him. It does. It has an effect. And if, in fact, this is true, and since it's the Word of God, I'm thinking it probably is, this is something we need to pay attention to. Because it's not just about how, you know, fitting into your bathing suit before summer. It's not just about, you know, how long you live. It's about the very core of your being and how you are connected to God. And that should matter to us. But looking at what this says, I'm forced to say, how in the world does eating too much actually affect your relationship with God? And it does. And I can understand it when I look at the rest of Scripture and what it says. But the first suggestion that I would like to propose to you is, when we overeat, it calls into question, who is in charge of my life? Who is the boss of me? Now, it's interesting because usually preachers will say, you need to answer the question, are you in charge of your life or is God in charge of your life? But actually, that's not the question. That's not the issue. God doesn't even want to be in charge of your life. He gave you your life as a gift. And as we saw last week, and you could get last week's message if you missed it, God gives us life. And He gives us choice, and He gives us freedom, and He says, you rule your spirit. You take control of your life. You have this responsibility. From the very beginning, God created people and said, this is your world. Take it. Work in it. Dominate it. Name the animals. Tend the earth. It's like he gave us freedom. So it's really not about whether I rule my life or God rules my life. The question always is, am I going to rule my life like God wants me to, or is something else going to rule my life? In this case, clearly, what could be ruling my life that would take away from what God has charged me with, what he has commissioned me with, is my body going to rule my life? Are my drives, are my physical desires, are those things going to be in charge, or am I going to rule my spirit by ruling over my own body? And we can understand how, if God has given us a commission to say, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I'm living there, and I want you to take care of it, what does that say to our connection with God when we say, no, I'll just let my body drive. I will just let whatever I feel like be the rule of the day. That is something that shirks a responsibility and a privilege that God has given us. Now, how does that work? Well, you have a body. Now, you are not a body that has a spirit. Today, a lot of people who don't believe in God actually believe all you are is a body. All you are is a machine. But the fact is, according to the Bible, you are a spirit that has a body. You're not a body that has a spirit. But your body is here to serve who you really are. That's what it's for. It's a gift from God. But if you allow your body to serve you, it's a total blessing. But if you allow you to serve your body, if your body trumps your spirit, that's a problem. The Apostle Paul talked about this when he said, In our translation, it says there in 1 Corinthians 9, I discipline my body, but the word there literally is, I punch my body in the eye. It's like, boom, that's what I do to my body. Why would you do that? Because your body is constantly in rebellion. Your body wants to take over. Your body wants to dominate your brain. God has set it up a certain way. If you choose to give control of who you are and what you do to your physical body instead of letting your body serve you, you're getting things out of order and your body becomes in charge. Now, Satan knew this very well. So when Satan wanted to attack people right from the beginning, what did he do with Eve? He came to her and he said, don't you want to eat that fruit? It's like, man, I got all this fruit. I'm fine. I have everything I need. And he's like, I don't know if you have everything you need. I don't know if you know everything you should know. And I'm telling you, you're one piece of fruit away from having what you want. Satan attacks us so often through this area because he understands, as soon as I decide I'm going to do whatever my body tells me to do, my life is out of order, and I'm not doing what God has commissioned me to do. Now, Satan did the same thing with Jesus. Remember, he took Jesus off into the wilderness, and Jesus had been fasting. And the devil said to him, pretty hungry, aren't you? Look at those rocks down there. Turn them into Twinkies. Twinkies. And it's like, that's what he does. It's so powerful when he can get us to serve our body rather than for our bodies to serve us. And so for everyone, it's, you know, Paul talked about in Romans, he talked about in Colossians 3. He said, he was talking about people who are out of control in their lives. And you remember how he described those people ultimately, finally? He said, whose God is their belly. What an interesting choice of words. Twice, in talking about people whose lives are out of control, he says, ultimately, they are worshiping their belly. And so, when we become dominated by our drives, whatever those physical drives may be, food is just one example. When we let that rule our spirit, When we let that determine our choices, we are out of order with what God wants us to do. And we have to get that body back in its right place. The body is a great gift. We're not people who just believe that everything physical, like a Gnostic, everything physical is bad and everything spiritual is good. They just have to have their proper place. They just have to be where they're supposed to be. And this is vitally important to God because He has a plan for us, and His plan for us involves us ruling our spirit and therefore using our body. And as soon as we let our body ascend to the throne and be in charge, as soon as we begin to worship our body, worship the temple instead of the God who lives in the temple, things are out of order. And so even as it says here in Proverbs 30, I can be full and deny you. I can deny you the place that you desire in my life. And I can even say, who is the Lord? I know what I feel, but God, he gets pushed out of the way sometimes as we allow ourselves to say, I'm just going to serve my body. So first thing is, who's in charge, really? And again, it's not let God be in charge. No, God is telling you to be in charge. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. But when we eat more than we should, we are taking that responsibility and opportunity that God has given us, and we're just going, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm going to let my stomach drive on this one. And that precedent is set. It affects our relationship with God. It really does. A second thing that I think happens when we do this, when we give into those drives, whatever they are, it betrays our trust in God. Who are you trusting if you are constantly wanting more? Now, one of the basic disciplines that God has always involved His people in is the discipline of fasting. It's really been important to God, so much so that when Jesus, the disciples were unable to heal this guy, He goes, problem is this kind only comes out with much prayer and fasting. Jesus didn't command us to fast, but it's like obvious, if you want to have power in your life, that's something that is sometimes required. Not only that, hey, you know, the whole idea of fasting, Jesus didn't say fast, but He said, when you fast. He assumed that people would fast. Now, fasting as a discipline involves, it's not just don't eat anything and then just totally pig out. Sometimes fasting is just about only eating certain things. I mean, right now, for people who are part of the traditional church, and we evangelicals substituted, instead of celebrating Lent now, we just substituted potlucks. But, you know, the idea of Lent is, I will intentionally give up something just to show that that doesn't rule me. So for Lent this year, I'm giving up vegetables. But I'm just kidding. But the whole idea of a fast is to say, food doesn't rule me. I will trust God. If I'm still feeling hungry and I'm still desiring some of these things, I don't have to have everything that I want because I'm trusting God with that. And it's interesting that a discipline would involve deprivation, but actually most of the disciplines to which the Lord calls us involve deprivation of one type or another because it's a healthy thing for us to do. And so, for instance, you know, another discipline that God calls us to is tithing, is giving a certain portion of what we have to the Lord. Now, how can you do that? He tells you, I am going to cause everything to work out. If you do this, I'm going to bless you with even more. But you're like, yeah, but I don't. What if it doesn't happen? And so instead, I hang on to what I have, just like I go, I'm not going to fast. I'm going to keep eating whatever I want to eat as long as I want to eat it. What I'm doing is saying, God, I don't trust you with keeping me healthy. I don't trust you with providing for me if I give. A third major discipline to which God calls us is the discipline of Sabbath. The idea that you take a day off. Now, in the Old Testament law, Sabbath was Friday night to Saturday night. The Sabbath actually, you know, in the New Testament, we're not commanded to keep the Sabbath. But the Sabbath goes back all the way to creation. So there's something about taking a day off. Now, if you don't take a day off, why do you not take a day off? It's because I'm afraid I'm not going to get everything done that needs to get done. Sabbath means you shut down and you say, whatever I haven't got done, I'm just going to trust it to the Lord, and I know it's going to be okay, and when I come back after the day off, I'll be able to tackle what I have to tackle. But isn't it interesting that those three disciplines, you know, the discipline of fasting, the discipline of disciplining your spending and giving money to God that you think you can't afford, and the discipline of taking a day off, Sabbath, and resting, every one of them tied in intimately with whether or not you're going to trust God. Can I afford, if I don't eat today, is God going to take care of me? Now, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God took care of them using manna. Every day, he brought just enough manna. But he said, if you collect more than what you can eat in one day, it's going to rot. But they had to learn to be, you know, to accept that this is my amount. It's a question of trusting God that he's going to bring more manna tomorrow. And so if you scarf down as much food as you can, almost like a chipmunk with your cheeks puffing out because you're just afraid this is the last nut I'm ever going to find, you're not trusting God. The same way, if you spend money that you don't have, if you drive yourself into debt, you're not trusting God to get you by with what you have. If you're not giving to God, you don't trust God. At the same time, if you are working all day, every day, you're not trusting God. That's not a sign of some sort of a great accomplishment. It's a sign of saying, I don't trust God, that I can take a day off and God's going to stay on. And so I think with this whole exhortation, what happens when you say, I have more, I'm going to eat more food than is allotted to me, to do that is to actually deny him, is to actually be confused as to who he is. Because he is not one who's going to put you in a situation where you're going to die of starvation because you push away, you know, that second piece of cake or something. It's like, there's going to be more cake. There's going to be, trust me, you go out here, next Sunday there will be more Oreos. And more. It's just, but you have to trust God. And I think when we overeat, we are depriving ourselves of trusting God and saying, I'm going to stop right here, and I know that he's going to provide for me later. The third thing that's kind of related to that, though, it's not only who is in charge and who do I trust, but the third element is the whole idea of what will satisfy me? Who will satisfy me? When will I get to the point where I have had enough? Because the thing is, as we continue to get more, we continue to want more. Again, it's like the children of Israel trying to hoard up, you know, their manna, wanting to keep more. It's like, at what point do you say, I have what I need? Whether it's with your food, whether it's with your possessions, whether it's in any other way with your activity or build saving for the future or whatever, is there ever a point where you say, I have enough? The reason that's important is because you have to trust God that you're going to be okay. You can't trust your ability to stack up, to build up, to hoard. That doesn't do the trick. But to be able to trust God and to be in that relationship with him, you realize, I am content right now with where I am and what I have. And that's easier to say than it is to do. It really is. Being content. And yet, going through the whole Bible, contentment is something that God wants us to have. Now, let's think about this for a minute. How can I be content right now with what I have? Because there are certainly things in my life that I hope change. There are certainly areas of my life where I want to improve. Being content means I am okay where I am right now. Because to be discontented means somehow God messed up. Somehow he allowed me to be in a place where now I am deprived. Now, in some of these areas, like in how much we eat, for many of us, and I'm not pointing the finger, I struggle with this every day of my life, okay? But I have to look at it and say, I'm starting now. The devil would love to defeat you in what you eat, and then to make you feel like it's senseless to even think about it because I can't do it. And you just quit. To be content means I accept God's grace, I start where I am today, and it doesn't matter whether I have eaten myself to an early grave already or whether I've been absolutely disciplined in what I eat for my whole life. It's all about right now. Are you okay with who you are right now? Are you okay that God even allowed you to abuse your body in some ways, and yet he is meeting you today, and by his grace he is saying, life starts over today. His mercies are new every morning. We can't afford to look at where we are and feel defeated. We have to say, no, what happens in the future is based on what I choose. Based on what I do. I can take control of my spirit today. And so forget what's happened before. I'm happy being where I am. I don't necessarily want to stay where I am. That's another thing. Of course not. I want to grow. I want to improve. I want to become wiser. I want to make better decisions in the future. But what's past is past. I'm content. And as soon as we continue to hoard things, or to continue to drive ourselves into deeper debt, or to continue to fill our calendar with activity, or to continue to eat more than we really need, what we're doing is saying, ultimately, I just don't have enough. I can't get no satisfaction. And when you say that, when you do that, what is that doing if it's not denying God, if it's not confused about who he is? If we, our relationship with God can't help but be hurt, be damaged, when we never have enough. I love that we sang today, Christ is enough for me. Is he really? If that's true, it is true, by the way, he's enough for you whether you realize it or not. Anytime we live our lives like he isn't enough, that we need more, that we need bigger, that we need better, that just one more cookie is going to do the trick, you'll never find that place of contentment. He is enough. And we deny him, and we misunderstand him, and we missee him when we allow ourselves to fall into this, I need more, 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 more. That's what I need. At some point, you have to decide, is this enough? And to refuse to do that in any area of our lives is to mess up our connection with God. Because if he hasn't given me everything I need, how can I see him as a generous, loving God? I am going to end up blaming him for the way things are if I haven't come to the point where I say, I have enough. Now, maybe I've done a bad job of managing the enough that he has given me. Well, that can start over today. And as we do that, we come into a more profound relationship with him, a more powerful knowledge of him. But continue to want more is going to destroy us. It's why, ultimately, any kind of addiction is so destructive in a person's life. Because with an addiction, there is never enough. Addicts never get to the point where they go, okay, this is a good amount. This is something good that I want to do. Now, this is true whether you are an alcoholic or a drug addict, or whether you are a hoarder or an obsessive worker or an obsessive eater or anything else. Addiction is simply saying, I will not put limits. I will not let my spirit put a limit on my body. I'm just going to keep doing it because I feel like somehow, maybe someday it'll be enough. If we aren't content today, and Paul said, hey, I've learned to have a lot, I've learned to have a little. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. There is not one thing that you will add to your life that then you will feel like I'm content. You'll only be content if you can be content right now, right where you are, right where your life exists. There's nothing that you'll get in the future that's going to satisfy you if you can't be satisfied here and now. And it's interesting, I said that this is a question of trust, ultimately, in God. Most addictions, generally most people who are addicted to something have had their trust betrayed by someone or something. There's been some disappointment, somebody took advantage of them or whatever. And when you lose your trust, you lose the ability to say this is enough. You never have enough because you can't trust because somewhere along the line somebody let you down. But we need to understand, it wasn't God. He wasn't the one who let us down. It was somebody that wasn't worth building our identity in. And so, again, with the wisdom of the Proverbs, I say, this is huge for us. And again, maybe your thing is too much food, but maybe it's too much work, or spending too much money, or accumulating too much stuff, whatever. Anything that's excessive is going to call into question, who is really in charge of your life? Who am I truly trusting? And when will it ever be enough? God is the answer to all of those things. And he wants to be that for us. If we continue to live our lives that way, in excess, in waste, he will become a more and more distant God to us. You cannot fool yourself into thinking that you can have a healthy relationship with God and then focus your attention in your life on getting more, eating more, spending more, whatever it is. It confuses you. It causes you to not see God clearly. It's so important that we understand this. It's the only path to contentment. If you have never really come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, I know you're not content. You really aren't. You may be talking yourself into that because you still haven't hit bankruptcy, or you still haven't run out of friends, or you still look in the mirror and you think you're still looking pretty good. But I have to tell you, the only one in the world who is truly satisfied with you, who loves you, who will forgive you no matter what, who gives you a fresh start every day, is the God who sent his son, Jesus, to die for you. If you haven't received his forgiveness and his grace, then I don't think there's any hope for you to truly learn to control your own life. You're letting other things and other people control your life. But you really want to get to know this God. He's amazing. He is the only one in the world who is totally cheering for you to take control of your life. He's the one who is able to do that. Because he can wipe out whatever's happened before today, forgive you, and let you start all over. And that's what he wants to do. If you've never done that, today would be a really good time to start life over. Doesn't that even sound good? Like, I can truly have a fresh start? There'll be people down here in the front after the service, and they'd love to pray with you. And they don't want anything from you. And they're not, like, you're not going to sign a pledge that, okay, I'm not going to eat too much chocolate anymore or something. No, they just want you to know
how much you mean to God. They just want you to understand how free you can be and what a blessing your life can become when you really discover what it is to be forgiven. And so if you've never done that, that's the place to start. If you don't do that, you're never going to be satisfied with anything else. You're just going to go down the list until you run out of things. It doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. For the rest of us, it's so important for us to learn contentment. And whatever area of your life is the one where you struggle the most, that's the area to tackle. And say, I mean, maybe for you it's food, but maybe for you it's being too busy or, you know, not giving to the Lord, being, you know, going into debt and overspending. Maybe it's hoarding and piling up too much stuff. Maybe it's like trying to have too many friends, too many activities, just totally filling your life so there's no room to breathe. Jesus desires for us to be free. To be free to rule over our spirit. To take control of our lives. But we can't do that because we really won't know him the way he wants to know us until we get to the point where there isn't anything that we're going to say, I need that. I need more. I don't have enough. So let's all decide that he is enough. That now I'm no longer going to be driven by thinking that a little more food, a little more money, a little more time, a little few more friends or whatever is then going to satisfy me. Let's just agree. We're so blessed. We have everything we need. He is our future. He is going to be with us no matter what. We should be people who are satisfied. And what we do in excess reveals to us the areas in which we are hanging on to those things rather than resting in him and who he is and what he wants to do for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for having our best in mind, for loving us, for truly giving us everything that we need. Help us to be satisfied when you give us our daily bread. Help us to be satisfied when we live on the resources that you provide for us. Help us to be satisfied with the number of hours we have in a day and to honor you by setting aside time away from all of the things that we think we have to do. Teach us that kind of discipline that will allow us to be the people that you want us to be. And for people here who, they don't know you, they don't even know what it feels like to start fresh, to be forgiven. Help them to understand that they are one decision away from being set free and having everything they need. Give them the courage to just come down, get right with you. Let them start their life over by finding out that God thinks they're enough, that they're fine, that you look at them and you are pleased with them. Help them to receive your gift of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Again, if you need prayer for any reason, come on down to the front. And people down here would just love to pray with you. Maybe there's an area of your life where you're really struggling and you'd just like somebody to agree with you in prayer. Or if you need to get plugged in and have your sins forgiven and start life over, they'd love to pray with you. But I pray that this is a week where we will start.